You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
So cynical.
Practice.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Positive Cynicism. This is episode 4, which after episode 3 could only be more exciting, right? Because if you painfully sat through all 5 minutes of episode 3, then I apologize. That was... You have to get the bad out of the way first, and then you have room to grow, right? That's the theory, I hope. At least that's the story I'm going with. And from here on out, it's just on to bigger and better things. Speaking of bigger and better things, when I started the podcast, or when I talked with Greg, the founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, and talked with Kevin, you know, the host of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, one of the things that I didn't really take into account... I knew about it. It was in the back of my head, but I didn't fully think about it until after starting the podcast, is you have to brand yourself, or there's branding involved with creating content. And, you know, after episode 2 came out, I got the Twitter handle at Positive Cynicism without the E. So POSITIV Cynicism. Which is not confusing at all, I'm sure, to anybody who would actually want to tweet at me. And then Greg started up the Positive Cynicism Facebook page, which as of right now is still kind of underground. It's a work in progress. And if it's anything like this podcast, it will be at least 6 months before it's up and running. That brings me to this week's topic of social media, because I've been thinking about it and trying to figure out how to brand myself, brand the podcast, get the word out that it exists, to try to get people to listen to it, to interact. And the problem is, I am not a social media person, which is going to probably sound ironic to anybody that knows me who is listening to this. When MySpace came out, poor little out for MySpace, I missed letting my friends know which ones I actually cared about and putting them in the top 8. When MySpace came out, I think I jumped on board quite early in the realm of social media because I was curious about blogging and figuring out what blogging actually was. When Facebook became open to the public, because those old enough to remember or who have seen The Social Network probably remember that first, Facebook was only open to college students. You had to register with a .edu email address. And then when it became open to public, I didn't feel the need to jump onto Facebook because I had MySpace. Why did I need Facebook? I didn't need two social media platforms. One was enough. Then I eventually got onto Facebook after moving to California, and my goal was MySpace would be actual friends, people that I knew. Facebook would be more professional based. Basically, I was going to use Facebook for what LinkedIn wants to be and is still trying to be. But then all of a sudden, everybody jumped over to Facebook and MySpace went the way of the dinosaur. And so Facebook became the de facto social media platform. And then Twitter came along. And I believe if I go back and actually look at my Twitter account, I have been a member of Twitter since 2009, but never really actively tweeted until probably 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't understand the purpose of Twitter. I still honestly don't fully understand the purpose of Twitter, and basically use Twitter as a quick means if a conversation with people that I don't want to text. So Facebook has been the main focus of my social media usage. And now, as I said, with this podcast, I'm trying to figure out how to use Twitter and Facebook to get the word out about the podcast, to just try to interact with everyone that is out there to interact with. And I'm having a hard time because my social media usage over the last couple of years has really changed. Before, when first getting involved with Facebook, you know, I was like pretty much everyone else. If I went out and did something, boom, it's on Facebook. If I had a picture of something interesting, it was on Facebook. I never Facebooked food. I still don't get the purpose of showing people what you ate because I know what food looks like and there's no need for me to see what you had for dinner last night. So yeah, I was using Facebook like everyone else. And, you know, if I was traveling, I would always use it to check in and say where I was and what I was doing. And part of that I justified as if anything should happen to me before I make it home, then the police will be able to use my Facebook account to try to track my last steps and figure out where, you know, where things went wrong. But over the course of the last couple of years, I've kind of had I wouldn't necessarily call it an epiphany, but I just gotten this feeling. I've gotten over social media, and I understand that I am growing out of the social media target age, which really I don't think that's true, given everyone else that is on social media and the way social media is starting to take over lives. But I did come to a point where I kind of realized that the image that I was portraying on social media didn't accurately reflect my life in reality. Because, yeah, I could go, you know, if I went to a concert, if I went to a sporting event, if I went traveling, I could post that. And it was a fun time. It was something exciting most of the time. That was such a small part of my actual life. The days that I wasn't doing something exciting, I didn't sit and post sitting on my couch watching Boy Meets World reruns. Again, just had Taco Bell for the third day in a row. No one cares about that stuff, or I would hope no one does. But then why do we expect people to care about the other parts of our lives? And that's another aspect of social media in general is, well, that ties into another aspect of social media that I think gets kind of lost or misconstrued in some way. Because if you go on Facebook, you know, it will ask you for a friend request or you judge, you know, you group people by friends. But are you really friends with everybody that you are friends with? When I do any of the normal activities that I do around Los Angeles, who is looking at my Facebook feed and really cares that, you know, that I saw Metallica Sunday night, or I walked past John Cena today at work, or that I contemplated going to watch Monster Jam? How many people of my, I think it's somewhere around 300 friends on Facebook, how many really care about any of that? I may be wrong. I would think that very few people actually do. And it's more, and it's probably the people that I talk to on a daily basis. Maybe I'm looking at this just from the cynical point of view, where I don't care a lot about what comes up on my Facebook feed. And it's not to say that I don't care or like the people that I am friends with on Facebook. I don't need to know the every movement of your life, especially if we never talk. Well, I mean, there are several people on Facebook that I have not spoken to in years. I understand that that's one of the aspects that people like about Facebook, is it's a way to keep track. I shouldn't say keep track, but keep tabs or keep up to date with people that you don't get to talk to on a regular basis. But I ask, why don't you talk to people on a regular basis? You know, it's not like we don't have devices that you can actually call and talk to someone or reach out via email or, you know, texting. It's how many people that you're friends with on Facebook or social media, you know, Twitter, whatever, how many people are people that you actually want to talk to? Let me put it this way. I went through at the end of the year and kind of cleaned out my Facebook feed and deleted some people that I had not spoken to. A lot of them were people that I had worked with years ago that we became friends while we were working. And especially now that I have a full-time job and I don't freelance as much, I didn't feel the need to keep them as a friend because we weren't friends. In going through and cleaning up my friend list, I noticed probably a good handful of people who had deleted their Facebook pages. And I did not realize this until going through and seeing like the blank space of where their name was. So I ask you, if you, in your Facebook feed, if 10 people defriended you or deleted their accounts, how long would it take you to notice that they were no longer friends with you? And I air quote friends there. If you don't notice someone is gone, were they ever actually there to begin with? I think the major issue with social media these days, though, besides having fake friends, is the fact, is the lack of actual personal thought or ideas being exchanged. Facebook has turned into, in my opinion, a bumper sticker smorgasbord. It's postings of other people's ideas, other people's thoughts, quotes, cartoons. And in the last year has become a political dumping ground of ideas written or spoken by other people that are posted without much discussion. It's kind of like someone just posts it and then leaves. And I think the political aspect is really what has driven me away personally from Facebook and social media. I am in favor of a good debate. I'm in favor of good discussion. As I said on last week's podcast, you know, find someone that doesn't share your point of view and discuss and engage in conversation. But social media is just a one-sided dead-end street. And I'm curious why there is a lack of discussion and more bombardment of unoriginality or a plethora of postings supporting one viewpoint. And I have no answers, and I'm not sitting here condemning social media. If you enjoy social media, then by all means, knock yourself out with it. For me personally, I realized that, one, I'm a very private person in real life. What I put on social media, what I throw out on social media, is not going to be anything actually personal. It's going to be very superficial. And I realized the superficialness of my postings are also kind of, well, for lack of a better term, kind of douchey, because everything that I was posting is, look at this thing that I'm doing that makes my life seem impressive. And as I said, I question who actually cares. So I stopped posting on social media. And switching over to Twitter, as I said at the beginning, I don't fully understand the purpose of Twitter. I think it's just more of it's a better way to talk nonsense to a larger audience. And the fact that Twitter limits the amount of characters that you can type makes saying anything really of substance a bit of a challenge without having to go into multiple tweets, which really kind of annoying to try to follow. Although, I mean, shout out to Norm MacDonald, who has gone off on a few, I wouldn't call them rants, but they were more just long speeches on Twitter that have been quite interesting. But I'm just saying, I don't understand Twitter. I don't get it. So someone out there, please tweet me. Tell me what I'm missing. Which brings us back to branding. I am trying to figure out how to spread the word, how to create this brand of positive cynicism so that more than just my Facebook friends are listening. And I've gone on Twitter, as I said, at positive cynicism, no E. I guess I would be at positive, no E, cynicism. I've gone on a few times to try and figure out, okay, who do I need to follow? Who should I be following? And it's a bit of a challenge. When I set up the My123Cents Twitter feed, that was easier, you know, because the focus of My123Cents is wrestling. So who do we follow? Wrestlers, wrestling companies. With positive cynicism, I have no specific affiliations or people to follow. So who should I be following to try and expand my social reach? So over the next few weeks, months, I'm sure this is not going to be an overnight answer. But if anybody is listening and wants to chime in and give me advice, I am more than willing to listen. I just am struggling with how do you start at nothing and build your way up? So I would be curious to hear your thoughts. What are your views on social media? Are they positive, negative, indifferent? Do you think social media helps society? Does it hinder society? I'd be curious to know how much do you use social media? What do you use it for? I would be curious to hear your thoughts. So, So shoot me a tweet at positive cynicism and let me know.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the co-founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network and host of the Nerds United Podcast. And what will you hear on the Nerds United Podcast? Well, you'll hear conversations with me and artists or writers, creators of comic books. You'll hear panel discussions from some various regional comic cons. You'll hear cosplay. You'll have celebrity interviews. It all happens here on Nerds United. You never know what to expect. Sometimes you might just get into a half hour of me rambling aimlessly, sometimes with a little aim, kind of like guys in the urinals. And never mind. But you'll get some ramblings of me, my thoughts, and maybe even some suggestions on some books to read. Pick up at your local comic book store. That's where it all starts, your local comic book store. So head on over there, grab a handful of comics, and put on Nerds United, either in the car or while you're reading, and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, Kevin Huntsberger here from My 123 Cents, the podcast, and My123Cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion too. Again, it's My 123 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective.
Yes, the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network is not only Positive Cynicism, it's also My 123 Cents with Kevin Huntsberger, it's Nerds United with Greg Mahochko, and it's also the Five Hearts with Greg Mahochko. It's all about Nebraska Cornhusker sports. Right now, let's do the random question of the week. And I actually had a question come to me that was very interesting and actually made me stop and think and try to figure out how I would answer it. But then I realized that a future guest who will hopefully be on the show in 2 or 3 weeks, it would be a perfect question to ask him as well. So I'm going to save that question for now. And I had another question come in that ties back into episode 2, the NHL recap episode. And the question was, if you have not listened to episode 2, I encourage you to go back and do so. But on that show, my friend Mike was on, and we were discussing the NHL All-Star Weekend extravaganza, and mentioned that we are trying to see a game in all 30 NHL arenas. But the question came in and asked, what are the plans after all 30 arenas are done? And I was trying to remember if Mike actually mentioned what his plans were after they were done. After we have seen all what started out as 30 NHL arenas, but by the time we finish, we'll be 31 with the addition of Las Vegas next season. My goal is to do more international traveling. I want to see more of the world. I want to just get out of the United States for a while and see what else is out there. And at the same time, I don't know if I will actually do it, but there is something called Club 122. I believe that's the name. And that is when you see every team that plays in the Big Four, the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and NHL, when you see a team play in their home arena. I don't know if I will actually do that part, but I would like to see every arena or every stadium. And I've been to several football stadiums for WrestleMania trips, so I don't know if I would go back and watch a football team play on the NHL trips when we had the opportunity. If there was another team that was playing either the day before or day after the hockey games, we would stick around and watch them. Our first trip was, as we mentioned on the show, was to Denver, Colorado. So we saw a Broncos game the day after the Avalanche game. And I've tried to work baseball stadiums into these trips as well. Unfortunately, the hockey and baseball seasons don't overlap that much. That is my goal, is to continue traveling, but expand the horizons. I would also like to see sports in other countries. I have friends in Australia who are big Australian rugby fans, and I have tried watching rugby games, and I don't understand it. And so I would be curious to go to a game with someone who could actually explain the game to me and be surrounded by the fans that are passionate about it. And other than that, you know, I wish we had kind of truncated the trips into like 2 or 3 years maximum. And then I would have liked to have written a book about the trips. Mike has his blog, hockeytransplant.com, where he is writing about these trips. And some of his blog entries are very, very extended. So you can check those out. My goal is to keep traveling. If it happens, we'll just have to wait and see. But I can say that next week on Positive Cynicism will be a topic that I have not even thought about yet. And then I will probably come up with something 30 minutes before I have to record the next episode. So if you have any suggestions for me, as we said earlier in the show, tweet me, positive, no E, cynicism, P-O-S-I-T-I-V, cynicism, on Twitter. Or if that's too complicated, you can also tweet at Chad Smart. Very simple, C-H-A-D-S-M-A-R-T. And suggest a topic for me. If there's something you want to hear me rant about, let me know. If you have any feedback at all, I'm curious to hear it. So if you have any feedback at all, I'm open to positive or negative criticism. The show is on iTunes as well. So go to iTunes, leave a review, help spread the word. And as always, I encourage you to go out and do something positive this week and question everything around you.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.